although it's always something to monitor, our investment strategy is not riding a cycle. We're not on a swing. We're not riding the wave. We are identifying undervalued multifamily opportunities that we can effectively manage and hold them for an indefinite amount of time to always provide good returns.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back, everyone. We've got a fun one today on today's Multifamily Monday episode. I am interviewing a good friend of mine. His name is Greg Donahue. We actually grew up ski racing together in New England. And I'm talking about from probably the age of, 5 years old up until somewhere around 18, 19, 20 years old. We raced together every winter on the same ski team. And about a few years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, we reconnected because of real estate. And it's just funny how that happens. It's one of the great things about, in my opinion, about real estate investing is it just the people that are in the world of real estate investing, they're just great people. It just brings people together. And it was just awesome. I was able to reconnect with an old friend just because of real estate. We saw what each other were doing, reached out, and hopefully one day maybe we can partner on a deal together, which would be super cool. Going from ski slopes at 5 years old to buying a multi-million dollar apartment complex, that would be pretty cool. Today's episode is a fun one. We dive into Greg's story. I'm not going to get really too much into it, but he essentially joined his father. This was his father's like side hustle on the side. His dad's an attorney. And Greg joined his dad right out of college, managing their, at the time, smaller portfolio of smaller multis. Now, I think over $25 million in assets under management. So Greg is the portfolio manager at 21 George Investors. 21 George Investors is a privately held investment firm focused on income-producing multifamily real estate investment opportunities with value-add components in specific U.S. emerging markets. They currently have 25 million assets under management. And we touch on a lot of great topics from, we're both millennials, and I feel like a lot of people kind of have that limiting belief, a limiting mindset that, at least because I know I had it before, several years ago, before I really got started, thinking like the big multis, that's for like the ultra wealthy or the institutional players, the groups that have a lot of experience and a lot of capital backing them. But that's just simply not the truth. And so we dive a little bit into that and how we're usually the youngest people in any type of networking or multifamily that is held. We dive into that. Then we dive into the importance of management of apartment complex, especially when you're investing out of state, and how important it is to have boots on the ground. And then also as well as, it's a really competitive market. So getting into deals, getting your offers or accepted, excuse me, and getting your offers accepted, one, from brokers, and then two, even before that, getting offers and deals sent your way so you can make those offers. Especially in today's competitive market, it's one, hard enough to find a deal, get good deals sent your way, but then two, get deals and offers accepted by the brokers. So we talk about how important that relationship is. And that just reminds me, I put together kind of a step-by-step how to get your one deal flow up and your close rate up. And I put it in this quick PDF step-by-step guide of what I do to get offers accepted, one, and then two, how to get the deals actually sent my way, like deals that are worth looking at. So if you want to check that out, all you got to do is simply text deal flow, that's deal space flow, to the number 415-528-7403. Again, that's text deal flow to 415-528-7403. This is not to blast, you know, your email. It's going to ask for your email. You just give them your email and then I will, or give the text your email and I will send that over to you. Again, this is not like a blast email list. Simply, I just need your email so I can send you the PDF. And then, yeah, so give that a look. I just go in depth of what I have done to get good deals sent my way. And then once I submit an offer, to get it accepted. But enough of that. Let's get into the episode. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Doing great, man. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to get on here with us. It's, listeners, it's funny. So Greg and I grew up ski racing together, of all things, up in New England, the Northeast, in Vermont, to be exact.
Great Queechee Hill.
That's right. Queechee, Vermont, the little big hill, the big Q. It's just funny how life works because we grew up skiing together and we would see each other every winter, talk sports, talk skiing. I think we had one or several pool and foosball games that were played in the clubhouse. But so now
we time in the rec room.
Yeah, exactly. But now we've circled back and reconnected because of real estate. So it's kind of funny how life happens. So Greg, if you don't mind, just giving the listeners a little background on yourself and how you got into real estate investing.
First off, thanks for having me on here and definitely appreciate it. And like you said, it's definitely funny how things work, how we grew up together, seeing each other in the winter. And then I don't even think we really knew that either of us were in real estate. And then I think you maybe somehow through social media, we kind of reconnected and now here we are. We've been talking for maybe a year or so now. But so yeah, I got started back in 2014, actually. My dad had started this company kind of on the side as kind of a side hustle back in about 2013. And when I graduated college, he had a couple smaller multifamily properties that he owned and kind of managing and looking to maybe add some more. And I was kind of in between jobs, college, and he started to scale up. He started to get some more deal flow and I started to make broker calls and kind of help him out on the side as well while I was actually looking for jobs. And at the time, we just ended up getting tremendous deal flow and just always had something under contract. And we just kind of took it from there and started growing this operating business and built our investor base, found more deals, and I've been doing it ever since. So it was a great opportunity that I had, and I've just continued to run with it and build our company.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool that you started right after college. I know when you talk to a lot of people, it's like, what's one thing you would have done differently? And it's like, start earlier. And I often agree with that. There's not much earlier that you can start than what you did. So that's awesome. Both of us, when you go to a meetup or any type of networking event, usually the youngest, if not one of the youngest, if not the youngest at the event. I'm 32 now. When I started, I was in my 20s. So I was always the youngest. You got the hunger aspect where maybe you're a little hungry at a younger age, but the age can kind of be a detriment in some terms. People like look at you like, oh, you're young. But people are still crushing our age. And I just wanted to get kind of your perspective on that and what it's like to be younger millennial in this business where we're buying multi-million dollar properties.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great point. I mean, I started when I was 24, I believe. Now I'm about to be 31 and I still go to networking events and I still find myself to be on the younger, one of the younger people at the event. And I think a lot of it has to do with people not being aware of, especially millennials, not being aware of how to get into real estate. How do you get in? Obviously, stock market, crypto, you just download an app on your phone, you can get right into it. A lot of people into crypto these days, kind of the looking for that get rich quick type thing. But I think real estate's a great tool to have and get into at a young age to start growing your wealth at a young age. And also building your passive income at a young age as well to enhance your current lifestyle. But if you continue to grow that throughout the next 5, 10, 20 years, if you start early, that's a great, you're kind of building your retirement plan as well. So I think the opportunity to get started at a younger age was great. And I think more millennials need to start looking at getting started in real estate, have saved up about $20,000, $50,000 and looking for a place to put it. I think real estate's a great investment opportunity, but also from an active standpoint, just calling brokers, it's something you can kind of start on the side and maybe turn into a full-time job over time. But yeah, I think it's certainly something millennials need to start looking into more and realizing that they have the opportunity to get into real estate. They have access to these deals. So
yeah, Greg made some really good points there. First, like anyone can get into it. It doesn't really matter about age. And I'll admit, I had limiting beliefs at one point in my 20s where I thought it was you had to have like the capital yourself, or you had to come from like a wealthy family or have some big wealthy backing or have the experience or be some institution to play in this game. But it's simply not true. Greg and I are case in point. Look, we both are acquiring multi-million dollar real estate properties, multifamily properties, and age is not a factor. It's about the work you're willing to put in. You got to educate in yourself. Invest in yourself, educate yourself so you can, like you mentioned, call these brokers so you can have that vernacular to some degree sound like you know what you're talking about. It definitely is a certain lingo and language that brokers use. And if you're not familiar with it, they're going to be able to sniff it out pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point you made of calling those brokers, building those relationships. I know I've talked about this before, but that is super important in a competitive market. You really need to stand out, develop those relationships. So Greg and I were just talking about this before. They've got off-market deals recently that they're the only ones that were shown the deal. And that's not just because Greg's a handsome guy or a cool guy, even though he is. It's because he's built these like lasting, deep relationships with people. That's how you win in this game, especially in a market like today. If you want to hit on that, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's multiple ways to get into it as well. That's something that a lot of people don't know. There's multiple ways to get into real estate. Like you said, I think a lot of people have this mentality that it's reserved for ultra wealthy individuals and institutions, but really anyone can get into it. And it's a lot more accessible than it used to be. You can start calling brokers and find deals, either invest in yourself and manage yourself, or you can bring in partners. I think just me and you both, we're lucky to have good mentors to, I myself didn't, when I graduated college, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going into real estate. I had my dad and a couple other great mentors to kind of lead the way and point me in the right direction. I think building your network, going to, if you have an interest in real estate, there's plenty of meetups around. I'm here in Boston. I'm sure if you put in a Google search, you can find real estate meetups. Building your network, you can, like me and Sean both said, find deals yourself. You can invest passively in other people's deals. You don't need to be a millionaire to invest in these deals. You can invest smaller chunks of money into these deals to become a passive investor. And you can learn that way. You can learn by passively investing in someone else's deal and just getting started and getting into the deal. If you do have a pretty good network, you can utilize that network, educate yourself, and then educate your network and try and raise money from other people and get involved in real estate that way to invest alongside you in these real estate deals. So I think there's a lot of different ways to get involved that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, it's a way to get started much earlier rather than wait until you have enough retirement funds to invest in a deal. So,
don't
just
wait.
A way to get started earlier than you might imagine.
Yeah. And it's a team sport. So don't think that you have to or even need to do this all by yourself, because most people don't. Like we don't. Both of us have partners, multiple partners to get deals done. And that's how it's done, especially if you want to scale. So, talking about scaling, Greg, where are you guys at now? Like, where did you start? Yeah. Where are you kind of going with your business?
We've definitely taken the team approach and have multiple partners. And I think that's one thing that I kind of realized early is you need partners in deals and you need different people in different seats. And I was lucky enough to be able to find some early partners who also were mentors early on to kind of help guide me and grow my business. So we started here in New England in our backyard, buying multifamily properties. We partnered with a local, they were a brokerage firm and management company. And they were probably, maybe to this day, still our best partnership. And we're still acquiring deals with them. So that was kind of our New England partnership that we're able to help scale us in New England. They handle implementing that third party management. So you're not dealing with tenants, you're not knocking on doors to collect rent. You kind of outsource that to your third party management company. Then finding those relationships in other markets. We've always had this boots on the ground approach that we own properties in Alabama, Illinois, here, Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut. We've done deals in California, and all those are through partnerships that have helped us scale our business. Finding people that complement our skill set to help identify these deals, contribute capital to the deals, manage the deals. There's plenty to do in every one deal. And the more like-minded partners with the same values and same goals as you that you can find and network with, that's how you scale your business. So we've been very lucky to find a lot of great partners throughout the years. And it's really helped us get to this point. And we're in a position to continue to scale. So that's not, I think we all hit ceilings at some point. So you always need to find a way to kind of break through those ceilings, and finding great partners is how we've done it. So,
100%. And I think that's a really good point you made on the boots on the ground, especially when you're getting into a new market. Every market has its own little nuances that you just won't know until you're in it. And so it's important to have those boots on the ground when you first get in. And if it's like a fruitful partnership, then keep it. That's the thing about real estate is partnerships are a deal by deal basis. It doesn't have to be a marriage. And that's what is great about it. So for instance, on this Georgia property we just closed on, our construction management arm is based out of Georgia. So we're super comfortable with that. So they can get down to that property within like an hour and a half. So they're always going to have eyes on it. They know the market. And so we're really comfortable going into a new market. And now once we grow, we're going to become more comfortable. So maybe we're not going to need certain partners to scale there. But I think it's important to start with boots on the ground partners. And I recommend that to anybody. That could be anyone. It could be a friend. It could be a former colleague that maybe lives in the market, a family member, just someone who knows that market and can tell you kind of like where things are moving, what's going on.
Exactly.
I think that's super important. What's on the horizon for you all?
We're still always looking for new opportunities. So we're looking to continue to scale. Definitely a competitive environment out there right now, but we think fundamentals still support continued growth. We're still seeing rent growth all across the country, pretty much. I think, like I said, the fundamentals still support the multifamily being a good investment. So we're still looking for new deals, mainly in places where we have those boots on the ground partnerships and feel really comfortable managing the assets. So we're still investing here in our backyard, Southern New Hampshire, and identifying new deals here because we have the management capabilities and are very confident in our team to manage the assets. And same with the markets outside of New England, we're still looking for new opportunities. We are selling some assets as well. We're always, part of real estate is you're always buying and selling. You want to be able to buy and sell in every stage of the market cycle. At the end of the day, market cycles do exist. We're always monitoring what's going on in the market, but we want to be able to build a company that can buy and sell at any point in the market. And I think you do that by having a good team, good broker relationships. You could be at the top of the market, but if you have those relationships, you can still identify undervalued assets within any local market. And if you have the management team to effectively manage those assets, you can manage them through any market cycle as well. So we are still looking for identifying new deals, building our network, and looking for new opportunities.
That was a great point. And everyone listening, I would rewind, listen to that back, because that's how you succeed or fail in this business is what Greg said. You need to be able to buy and sell in every market cycle, because like you said, there are market cycles continue to be, that's never going to change. And if you're not able to operate in the different parts of the market cycle, then you're not going to be able to operate over a long term. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Sure. Touch upon that point further is one thing I kind of realized getting started is I'd read all these financial journals and read articles about the economy and read economists' journals and hear about all these people trying to predict the next market crash or predict the next, when's the correction coming? I've heard it since I started in 2014. Everyone's, oh, the correction's coming next year. Although it's always something to monitor, our investment strategy is not riding a cycle. We're not on a swing. We're not riding the wave. We are identifying undervalued multifamily opportunities that we can effectively manage and hold them for an indefinite amount of time to always provide good returns. And yeah, there's things are going to happen. Predicted COVID, things happen. But if you have your systems in place, you want to be able to manage your asset throughout any point of the market cycle.
Yep. If you buy a solid cash flowing property, you're going to be able to weather most storms. So that's what we look for. We're not here to hit that home run, like the appreciation game. Obviously, that's part of our entire investment objective, but our main focus is cash flow, because that will weather you through most storms. And talking about the systems and processes that you need to have in place, how are you managing all these different markets? I'm assuming you probably have third party property management, but are you then asset managing yourself?
Exactly. Yeah. So we have third party property management in place. Those are local management companies to the asset. So we have a management company here in New England. We have one in Illinois, have one in Alabama. Every market we go into, we identify multiple third-party management companies that we are comfortable managing the day-to-day operations of our asset. They deal with the tenants, they do the repairs, take care of work orders, do the leasing. We are then overseeing them. We're doing the asset management. We're reviewing. They do the bookkeeping as well, but we're reviewing bookkeeping closely, keeping an eye on the bookkeeping, making sure we implement KPIs, key performance indicators with our management teams to make sure they're hitting them every month. We're just taking over an asset. We'll try and have weekly calls with our management team. Once we get to a point of stabilization and we're comfortable, where we try and move to like monthly calls with our management team and just reviewing those financials. And then we've taken it a step further where we have the third-party management company in place, but we like to have an owner, someone part of the ownership team who lives in the market as well, local to the market. So just an extra layer of management that they can drive by the property, keep third-party management company accountable. We don't need to fly out to the market to surprise the management company. Someone can drive by in a moment's notice, see what's going on, make sure the lawn's cut, make sure unit turns are being done in a timely manner. So we've kind of taken it a step further to have that partner who lives local to the market and local to the assets.
I really like that. Having someone with some skin in the game, or in terms of skin in a game, they have some ownership in that property that they're incentivized that it performs well. Because it's true, let's face it, not all property management companies are bad, but none of them are perfect. So even if you have a good one, they're never going to be perfect. There's going to be things that happen. I know I've flown to a property and they told us that certain painting had been done. When I got there, no, it hadn't. Certain things are overlooked. I've heard other worse nightmare stories than that, but I think that's really smart. We don't employ that as of now, but that's something I would definitely look into. What we kind of do is we have third-party property management and then we asset manage it like you all are doing, and we have these calls to check the KPIs, like Greg said, the key performance indicators. So today, actually, I'll be hopping on a call later this afternoon. Right now, we're having them weekly just because we're phasing up CapEx, so renovations on the property. So we want to have weekly calls to make sure everything's going well and we just took over the property. That will probably taper off to more like every other week call once that's going. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because you obviously, how we're investing, we can't be at the property every day or even every week. So it's important to know what's going on and keep people accountable. And I think the way I look at it is it doesn't matter what price you get a property for, you get it for the best bargain price out there. But if it's all about management, and if you don't manage it properly, it's not going to be a good deal. So
I think you're exactly right there. That comes down to executing your strategy. So you can buy it right price, and buying it at the right price is a huge win right off the bat. I mean, that's great. But at the end of the day, you do have to execute on your investment strategy and on your value add strategy. And if you don't have the team in place to do that, you're going to have a lot of headaches, probably lose your hair pretty quickly, and make things much more complicated. So I think you're exactly right that you need to have that good team in place to execute on your strategy.
How often are you flying out there or someone on your team?
Yeah, so I used to, but it's kind of all changed because of COVID, I guess. Yeah. Well, now I guess we're back into it. I used to do quarterly, go out there. Then when COVID hit, obviously that stopped. So I haven't been going out as often. And a lot of that has to do with having those boots on the ground partners as well. So I'll still try and get out there a couple times a year. We've been lucky as of late. Obviously, if you have a lot going on at a property, you want to be there more often. So sometimes it's kind of like, I've had instances where it's kind of like, all right, I got to be in Alabama next week. And it's like, kind of like crap. Like I got to book a ticket for Sunday. Like I'm going down. You got to do. But if you have, once you kind of get things stabilized and get your management systems and team in place, it doesn't have to be as often. And still, I'd like to get back to going to these assets quarterly, but having those boots on the ground partners in most of our markets, we don't have them in all of our markets, but most of our markets, we have the boots on the ground partners who have done a great job being there and being at the asset weekly or when needed. So that's helped me not having to go out quite as much, but I would like to get back to probably going quarterly. So what about yourself? How often do you find yourself going out?
I try to go quarterly. But with kind of a heavier lift like we're doing, I'll probably go out there maybe twice a quarter in the beginning just to make sure, especially with the market, is we want to get everything done pretty quick. You also have carrying costs, holding costs when you're doing a lift like this. So you want to get it done as fast as possible. But especially in a market we're in where we don't really know where things are going from an inflation standpoint, from a rate standpoint, when you're doing this type of lift, usually we're using bridge debt. So we're going to want to refinance within like 2 to 3 years. So I'm going to be out there to make sure we're staying on track and executing our business plan the way we want it done. Yeah, it'll probably be twice a quarter, but then it's usually a quarter. And that could be me, myself, or it could be someone else on my team. But I think that's great that you have someone boots on the ground, which is really beneficial. It makes such a big difference when you show up. Like not even just the management, but the onsite staff, you know, if you have construction management, it's just everything. So
it goes a long way with having that presence on the property. It shows your third party management company and your onsite employees that you as an owner really care about the property and care about them as a team. And it builds good camaraderie with your management team, with ownership, third party management company, onsite employees, and holds everyone accountable, but showing that extra involvement and showing that you care about the asset and them, I think it goes a long way with your entire team.
Yep. And we have a fiduciary duty to our investors. So it's imperative. Yep. We need to make sure everything's getting executed to the business plan that we presented them. Yeah. So what's the future? Where do you see your company's 21 George, right?
Yep. 21 George Investors.
Where do you see 21 George in 5 years?
5 years. So, I mean, we set our goals every year, do the EOS system. So we do the goals. So we currently at about 25 million in assets under management. We would like to double that in 3 years, get to 50 million in assets under management. So I guess I have my 3 year answer. I don't have my 5 year.
Well,
so,
I like that 3 year. That I love that.
So we'd like to do that. 50 million assets under management, really with an emphasis on continuing to build our cash flow, to continue to scale our business, grow into maybe a few new markets, a couple of the Carolinas we've been looking at a lot, but really just continue to grow our investor pool as well, provide strong passive investment opportunities, improve the quality of life of our investors, find these underperforming communities, apartment complexes to improve the quality of life of the tenants who live there, the surrounding communities, and overall just continue to grow. So that's hopefully we kind of stay on the right path and continue to do that and continue to find new partnerships, build new relationships with our partners and continue to grow with them as well.
Awesome. And for those that don't know the term, he mentioned EOS. It's Entrepreneurial Operating System, made famous by the book Traction. It's essentially a way, it's systems and processes to essentially establish you're running and operating a business. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's pretty much you need to track everything. And and goals is one thing. You have a goal, right? What is it going to take to meet that goal? Like, what are the steps that you need to take to meet that goal? And then you track those. And I know a lot of people that live by EOS and Traction. And it's something that I've been looking into and wanting to implement because I see how it works for others. So how long have you guys been on EOS?
A couple of years now, maybe 2 years now. I think a lot of people implement it to an extent without even realizing it. I mean, I'm sure there's aspects of your business that, and it's not the only way to operate your business. Obviously, there's plenty of other ways. But as you mentioned, it's just exactly you start with, you really start with your company values and what you're trying to provide to, in our case, what we're trying to provide to both our investors and the tenants who live at our buildings. And we're really trying to improve the quality of life to everyone, for our investors, by providing them, creating wealth and passive income, cash flow. So improve their quality of life that way. Improve our investors, tenants' quality of life by addressing repairs and maintenance on time, improving the communities that they live at. So it really starts with that, your values and that, what you're trying to provide. And then from there, it's your goals, 10, 3, 1 year goals, and just tracking and then kind of working backwards to what you have to accomplish to meet those goals. It's really helped our business grow and scale. So it's definitely recommend the book Traction to anyone out there listening.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it. I need to finish it, but
that's great.
It's an amazing book because it's not even just the fact how I mentioned things, so you track them so you can reach your goals, but it's also you're creating systems and processes that can be replicated or duplicated by someone else. So if you need to fill a position, you essentially have the manual to do that position. It's like from the book E-Myth. If you all aren't familiar with that, that's another business book. But the whole thing about E-Myth is the systems and processes that you want to work on your business and not in your business as an owner.
Exactly.
And to do that, you need to create those systems and processes that can easily be accomplished by someone else as you continue to hire and grow. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we touched on that. That's a great point for anyone yeah. who has a business out there, whether it's real estate or not.
So yeah, that's a great part about it. It really works for any business. Highly recommend it.
Awesome. Well, where can everyone find you, Greg?
Visit my website, 21georgeinvestors.com, on LinkedIn, Greg Donahue, 21 George Investors. Probably start from there and shoot me an email, give me a call. Obviously, love connecting with as many people as possible. I think growing a network is first step to creating more success, and love to hear from anyone. Feel free to reach out to me.
Awesome. Well, I have two last questions that I usually ask most of my guests. Fair warning, everyone, or disclosure, I did not prepare Greg for these. But the first question, so this whole podcast, I guess I'll preface, this whole podcast is about building wealth and achieving that coveted financial freedom and time freedom through investing in multifamily real estate, with the caveat that it's not just what you make, but what you keep. So we have a Finance Friday episode as well, where I leverage my background in finance and talk everything personal finance. So with that said, the two questions, the first one is, why multifamily to grow your wealth and achieve financial freedom? And then the second question is, if you could go back in time and tell that 24-year-old Greg that was just starting off in real estate,
yeah.
you could tell him one piece of like financial advice, you know, set up his life to be even better than where it is today, what would that be?
Yeah. So why multifamily real estate is to build wealth. I think it is the most kind of mapped out way to build wealth. If you can use cash flow to either live off your cash flow or use the cash flow to supplement your W-2 income, improve your quality of life while you're still building equity in the property, paying down your debt, making improvements to the property. It's just you're building wealth while benefiting short term from the cash flow. And if you can continue to roll over your retained earning, you sell an asset, roll over all earnings from that sale into another multifamily asset or another piece of real estate, continue to grow that equity while benefiting current day from the cash flow, I think it's just a very practical way to build wealth in a very kind of mapped out way to do it, rather than riding the fluctuations in kind of the financial markets. That's not to say multifamily, it doesn't always go exactly as planned, but I think it's, to me, it makes a lot of sense. So that's why multifamily. Give myself advice. I would say, again, I'll point to my mentors and say I definitely had a lot of advice given to me, so I'm very lucky in that regards. I would say maybe be a little bit more, I don't know if proactive is the right term, but more, do more stuff like this quicker, get yeah. out. And I think I was very into analyzing deals when I was younger and first started out. I wasn't necessarily into networking and getting out there and meeting new people. So I would say kind of build your network quicker would be my advice.
Yeah. Your network's your net worth.
Yeah.
And things can happen that you don't even think of or dream of when you start growing your network. It seems like things just come to you. I can't agree more. And that's why when you start your meetup again in Boston, I'll be down there.
I'll definitely let you know and you can come down and check it out. So
awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Greg. I really appreciate your time. And this has been a great episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Definitely appreciate it. It's always great chatting with you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, as always, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.